I've start again. So PK.
No, let's not start. For those listening to the podcast, we just spent 10 minutes sat here talking, not realising that we've not recorded.
Matthew's got some sass.
Well, is he getting a bit sassy in the chat, is he?
He's getting
sassy. Yeah, a bit sassy in the chat.
He's giving us the finger 5 times.
Is he?
Tell you what.
Sod him. Right, let's get on with this. Let's get on with it. Hey, just before we start, is this Q&A 100?
It is, yeah. Probably the quickest one.
Are we going to go with like a magical jingle or a new cool tune or anything like that?
I'll put a cow noise in.
Oh, God. Some people will really go over the top on Instagram for that, won't they?
Yeah, you're getting a cow
noise. Here we are, with a cow noise, probably.
Talking about Peter Gray. Right, I'll ask the first one. How to action client feedback?
I really don't like saying depends without elaborating in stupid amount of detail, but this very much depends on what level of feedback it is. So I'm guessing that it means how to action feedback to the client. So I've got it from two angles. How do you see that question? Is it feedback to the client, or the clients give feedback to the PT and they need to action it?
I think the second one, they've done some client feedback and then I think okay. That's why I would take it.
All right, cool. So going off that one then, if you've got some client feedback, let's say you've done a survey or anything like that, we're doing this now, we've booked a lot of time out to review it. I genuinely make sure that you book some time out to do a full review of it and unpack whatever trends that you see, and then look at what you feel off the back of them trends is the biggest priority, i.e. what's the biggest thing that they've fed back on most. And then I would go about action it. And do you know what? Something that we're going to do, I've not discussed this already, but it's just common sense. Like I would communicate to your clients the common trends in the feedback and say, this is what has shown up. Thanks so much for that feedback. This is what's shown up. These are the things that we're going to concentrate on and prioritize so they know what's coming. I think that's the best way of going about it personally. But do you want to answer, if it is the other way, do you want to answer the other way? So how to best action client feedback to them? I'm guessing that maybe might be the check-ins or something like that.
Yeah, the first thing I would do for that is find out how people would like to receive the feedback. You know, some people, as an example, some people might want to know why you've said a certain thing based on the information that they've provided. So they might want it elaborated on. Some people might just want bullet points. Some people might want to go back and forth a little bit. Visual, auditory. So I think find out how they would like to get feedback first. Make it so that it can be delivered with efficiency. And yeah, go from there. I think there's many different ways of doing it, but I would say start with the client, find out what they would like.
Yeah, man. Next question is, what's your opinions on having a narrow niche in a gym environment like you would do online?
I think it's an advantage because it helps, especially... If you are very proactive about going out there and generating leads daily, weekly, monthly, and you're approaching people, I think it has a huge advantage in a way that you can identify generally who to pick, who to go up to, especially when you're in there's always a complaint about, you know, there's only 10 people in the gym, 20 people in the gym, 30 people in the gym. And the other end of the spectrum of that is like the big commercial gyms have hundreds of people in the gym. So actually sometimes having too many people, it kind of it creates a bit of confusion on who to approach. So I think having narrowing down your market on the gym floor, I think helps you identify who to approach. But I don't think it has to be as narrowed down as online. I don't think it has to be. I think it gives you an advantage as an example of where to find people in the what areas of the gym. And also the type of lead magnets that you create for the audience, I think will really help. Otherwise it would be quite generic. So yeah, that is my opinion on narrowing down your niche in your gym environment. Not to the full extent of what you do online, but I think it would really help. Yours, opinions?
I agree. I've got nothing to add to that. I'd just be adding to it for adding to its sake. There's no one needs that.
How to stay positive when there's a lack of inquiries?
Such a good question, that. As basic as it sounds, like everyone will go through it. So I think first of all, normalize it. And it's like, can I explain this? I use a client as an analogy, right? Let's say a client isn't losing the body fat or the weight that they want to lose. What you would do is then look at the period of time they've tried to be consistent and what they've been consistent with, i.e. the markers that they need to do to make sure they lose that weight, all right? Whether that's steps deficit, whether that's gym sessions, whether that's other markers in regards to behavior, sleep, whatever, right? When you look at it from a client perspective, you would then analyze that over a period of time and go, right, have you completed the inputs to get the outcome that you want? And if that's not being consistent, you can probably sit there with the client and go, right, okay, what do you feel like you need to do? Well, obviously I need to make sure that I hit them markers consistently, because that's going to give me the best possible chance to achieve my outcome. So with a client, you would walk them through that, and that's how you would probably keep them positive, to focus on the process and not the outcome. But so there's an element of, I understand, a bit of compassion, a bit of empathy, but also that compassion can come in another way and go, actually, have you done the work? Have you done the work to enable you to say that you've done everything you possibly can to get the inquiries? And then a lot of the times, like, it's going to be no. So in summary, what I'm saying about this is that how to stay positive is, first and foremost, don't just focus on the outcome of inquiries and sales. Make sure that you've got process-based non-negotiables or tasks or inputs or whatever you want to call them that you can focus on, that you do consistently, because off the back of you doing them things consistently over time, you will get inquiries and sales. So I would say that that's how you remain positive whilst there is a lack of inquiries. So just kind of draw a line in it, create them inputs and non-negotiables and then process-based goals, and focus on them like you would say to a client, 30, 60, 90 days, and then watch the results start to come. So yeah, that's what I would say. That's how to stay as positive as possible. I think sometimes we've got to look at it and go, have we really done the work? And if not, right, what's going to make me do the work, and focus on them things. Anything you'd add to that?
No, I don't think so. I think Matt's kind of followed up with maybe a little bit of it's on the same lines. When do you believe you can start to sell directly to your service on social media? Just because I know I'm very inconsistent posting, but what to build that up and make sure I have the trust with the audience. I think obviously the first one is the obvious one, is you've got to be consistent, and not just over weeks, but over months. I think the second thing is that when you sell directly, and when you position something directly for people, it's almost, I always take, it might be hard to explain, but your content and the way that you engage people online in regards to having conversations and reaching out and answering questions and helping people almost gives you the confidence and the reason to go, hey, this is something here that's going to help you. And I think if you can think of one, two or three people that you've had conversations with and helped and whatnot, I think personally that's the kind of time. So consistency and having that feedback from your audience. And if you're sitting there going, well, I never get an engagement, well, I think you've got to go to the first point of, have you been consistent for months, first of all? So that's all I'm adding to that.
Yeah. It's difficult, don't get me wrong, just like it is for your client gets really frustrated, and you can probably now empathize with that and the stuff that frustrates you about your clients. And you go, well, in your head, you're saying in your head to the client, well, you haven't put the work in, or you haven't been consistent, or maybe we need to tweak some of the inputs to the daily inputs to meet the end goal. That might be what you need to do as well. You might need to tweak some of the inputs to get you closer to the end goal. And that comes in form of making sure that you're all over a marketing plan, which obviously we help you with. Next question is a two-parter. What's your dog doing?
Don't fucking know.
He's being a naughty little fucker, that dog, today. Right, question one of two. I am wanting to open more one-to-one spaces, but don't want my work hours to be all over the place. Have you got any advice? One sec. On how to keep you one-to-one hours organized and close together. I don't mind having the odd gap between clients, but don't want them being hours apart.
Yeah, the first thing is identifying the hours you want to fill. That's the first thing, which is an obvious thing to state. And I think the second thing is generating the right number of leads to get the right number of people into those slots. Is an obvious part of the equation, but then you also feel like you've got to identify, if you've got very specific times, or, you know, if you're trying to fill lunch times and you're targeting obviously like teachers or whatnot, then obviously you've got to make sure that you're targeting the right type of person with that type of lifestyle that fits the hours you want to fill as well. So I would identify that. Make sure the consultations and your onboarding is identifying those times in your onboarding, and the calls and consultations and sales calls are around those times as well. So again, it kind of filters people into those times. I think in your marketing, you know, come up with the pros of the certain times of day that you've got free. You know, if it's first thing in the morning, how is that an advantage to some people? Why is it better? Why would it help someone? So again, how would it overcome someone's problems? So again, I think you just tailor everything towards those particular time slots. So that's my answer to that.
Second part of the question, do you have any thoughts on PTs? It's a good question, this actually, very relevant for a lot of people probably listening. Do you have any thoughts on PTs having a 90-day offer for one-to-one coaching? I think it would make it easier to sell since the client knows they have a start and end date. But I know most people will also need support beyond 90 days. Any thoughts?
As in, is it good or bad? I think it's just the same as if you were going to do it's similar. You could say the same, and what you just said there about, I know people will need more. Well, it's the same as doing any type of like low barrier lead magnet or low barrier offer coming into your business. They're coming in for a lower cost, lower amount of support for the hope of you then feeling and seeing the results, and then them obviously continuing. But this is obviously a bigger price point for one-to-one, but there is a start and end date with it. So I would imagine a lot of the times that I know a lot of the times these 90-day programs are selling a very specific result in a very specific time frame, which will attract people. But then, one, you've got to deliver the results, and two, you probably find that you've got to do a lot of marketing every 90 days to backfill those, that big intake of revenue and clients. I'm not saying everyone will leave, people will stay on 100%, but I guess it's the way you position it. So are they good? Yeah. Are they, they have drawbacks? Yeah, but so does everything. I think you got to look at an easier business. And marry that up to how you want to market things and your ethos and your morals and the way you want to work with people. And if it, you do want to do a 90-day program, then sell the result, but have just have that acceptance that maybe a high percentage of those people will probably drop off. What are your thoughts on that, Anthony?
You know, my thoughts are the same. It's boring, that, isn't it? Because I do want to go against you at points, but just for the sake of a fucking different play devil's advocate, but not for the sake of it, but obviously for another side. But I do agree with that in every single way. And listen, like, I started my, not started my career, but from probably year two of being a PT to, oh God, year seven of being a PT. That's all I did. It's all I sold. So everything that Nick's just said are the problems it created for me. At the time, did I see them as problems? No, because I was getting clients and I needed money, and I before that was very painful because I didn't have clients and I didn't have any fucking money. So that's how I measured it, simply how I measured the success of it. Right, well, I've got this thing, I've tried it once, it had a 90-day thing on it, or 12-week, it worked really well, I'm just going to repeat it. Why wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? And it does sell because there's a start and end date to people. It's very appealing. But actually, when it all sinks in with you and goes, actually, what do you stand for? What are you most passionate about? It just went against, like, literally, we still do it now. We do a 12-week PT business transformation. And the reason why we do that is because, A, it talks out the language to our market, to our demographic, and if it's followed to a T alongside the group, because we know it gets people a result in terms of the transformation of all of the systems, the processes, your confidence, your self-belief in your business. We know it works because we've done it with thousands of PTs now. Do PTs need longer than that, the majority of people who come in? Yep. Did my clients need longer than that, the majority of them come in? Yep. And that's where we then have to have conversations within the service, me back then and us now, with the PT and with the clients, that they've got an ongoing plan to continue to meet their results and needs and wants. So yes, on the front end, it sells well, as you've said there. But I think what you've got to be crystal clear with, and this is where we really like the monthly reviews and stuff like that, because that's where you can be crystal clear with the client and goes, right, this is where you've got to in your first 4 or 8 weeks. You come in for this, yes, you're making progress, but your expectations were this. To get to that point, this is the plan moving forward that you build out with the client. So that's a really important part. If you're going to do this on the front end, there's all of that you need to accept that Nick's just said in regards to the coming for the result, the coming for that time period. But then what you have to do is really heavily communicate inside the program to make sure it's specific, individual, and there's a plan mapped out to meet their results and build their self-efficacy. It's no different for us with business coaching than it was for us with coaching face-to-face back in the day. So yeah, that'd be my spin in it. It's one of them things where it's got huge amounts of advantages, but it's like anything in life, it's got quite a few disadvantages as well. And I think knowing what them disadvantages are will help you then deliver a better individualized and relevant service when people are in there.
Mm.
That's what we try and do with this, to be fair.
There's another question in the chat, actually. From the second question, if I went from online into a busy gym, I would look at targeting only parents with the goal to know, to be known as the parent PT of that gym. Would that be a smart approach?
Yeah, I think it would, personally.
Because your time, first of all, your time availability is going to be similar to theirs, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it would be a smart move. And I think where a lot of PTs, I wouldn't say they go wrong with it, but I think they could do better with this stuff, is that if I had to walk into any commercial gym now, the visibility of the PTs, obviously you might be there coaching people, but you don't get any level of marketing apart from seeing what you like with clients, right? You might go to your profile board, and normally the profile board is very much like, it very much depends, right, of what that is. But in general, it's just general information. Where I see most PTs, if I was going in as the, I don't like to say, I wouldn't say it's an authority, but my market is parent. I want to coach busy parents. I would do everything I can to make people aware of that in one way or another. Whether that's with visible secondary marketing, which is the stuff that you can put in around the gym, whether that's with workshops, seminars, stuff like that, that I would put on in the gym. Whether that's the cross promotion work that I do from inside the gym. So for example, I may be doing a bit of networking in the gym with people who go there, who work at different places in and around the area, schools or wherever. I'd focus my attention there. So people, there's a ripple effect in people starting to understand that, oh, Ant works with busy parents because he understands, or is, or whatever, that's his track record of results for them. So I would try my best to make people more aware of that. It's very easy to do that on social media. Do you know what I mean? It's very easy to put your posts up and target. Not so easy in the gym, but you have to be creative with it, because it can be done. But I think there's a lack of people who do it, probably because it can be a little bit difficult. Yeah, and we take the easy road out sometimes. Yeah. Do you understand what I was trying to say with that then? Like, it's not always obvious, is it? When you walk into a commercial gym now, you won't be able to tell who, there's that girl who just coaches that group, there's that guy. It's a lot more difficult, but you can make it visible and easier for you to do it.
Yeah, and I think as well, because vast majority of PTs get clients in commercial gyms, these clients come into them from reading a profile on the board or reading a profile on a website or doing a class. And so if you can tailor that message through your profiles instead of the generic, I used to play rugby, I trained in the gym for 5 years.
I've been into sport since I was 5 years old.
I like helping people.
What else? There's
always a cheesy
I specialize in strength conditioning, body composition, transformation, health and fitness, general fitness, fat loss,
mobility,
and I'm an expert in
golf, tennis, fighter trainer over here.
Yeah, that was me.
Kettlebell specialist.
684 pound on bypass.
Yeah, kettlebell nutritionist with my 1999 Groupon certification.
That's it.
I do because the problem with the majority of commercial gyms.
I'm laughing because I did every single one of them things.
No, I said it. I.
As soon as I've done my Faster Global Fitness, they were on there straight away. Like every member knew what Faster Global Fitness was.
Functional fitness trainer, me.
Oh, I've done my UKCA foundation and free modules. So I'm going to put them on the profile board.
Those two ball specialists here. Okay. and the classic. Yeah, I do a different type of box aside. I do.
Box fit.
Mine's different to everybody else's.
Cycle spin box.
Yeah. We've got this brand new, unique concept. Spin. What do we spin? Spin with dumbbells. Spin with kettlebells. Spin with abs.
I actually launched a product called Strike Fit, which was basically a boxing circuit, and that you kicked a few bags as well.
Spin with.
Oh, fucking hell! So we do take the piss out of you, but we have done it all too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I used to. I've told you this before, haven't I? When I was on the cruise ships, I used to earn more money. We didn't record, but we took photos of an exercise library with Bosu balls and Chris balls. And so we did three pictures. So the starting position, the mid position, and the finishing position of each exercise. It took us fucking months, right? Burned it all onto a CD and then sold them for like $10.
Mad, isn't it?
Brand new thing it was. Brand new thing.
Brand new thing
it was.
Your dog's trying to escape. Wait! Your dog is trying to escape.
He did they tell you?
Yeah, he told me.
Scared the shit out of someone.
Want to go out?
She's just been out. You know what she's spooked by? The thunder and lightning earlier. She's fucking mental, aren't you? Come here. Come here.
Yeah, this is going to be good listening for the people on the podcast. Sounds like you're genuinely insulting your dog. It's happening.
Look.
It's happening, you little beast.
This is who you interrupt every fucking day.
Yeah, we were 10 times more productive before you, all right? It's your fault.
Sound, gonna have some dinner.
Tea.
Dinner. Is there any more questions? I have the reps recognize cells of fit.
Who said that?
Sam, I have my level 2, level 3, and first aid.
Cells of fit, yeah.
First aid's the one, isn't it? First aid's the one.
Cells of fit, that's No, quality. From that second question, if I went online. All right, okay. Brilliant, that. Quality. Right. Nice one, boys and girls. See you in a bit.
Cheers all. Bye-bye.